This is the GPL Podcast, part of the Pull Tab Sports family.
Oh boy. Duke making mistakes. I love it. And so I had to train for this marathon.
Make sure you stay awake for the game tomorrow, too.
Triple, hey, stomp the same ball. Let's go.
Stomp. There we go. So how was the flights in and out of Penn State last weekend?
Pretty good, actually. I was home by, like, dude. I was home by, like, 10.
Now, here's Jupiter and Vigo. Good evening and welcome to the GPL Podcast, episode number 261. Good evening, Viggs. How are things with you? You were a little under the weather this past weekend, I know, but how are you feeling?
Well, you know, life got really busy leading up to the playoffs, but we've made it. We're here, playoff hockey. Not quite the NCAAs like we're all waiting for, but Big Ten tournament means we're close.
Well, if we're going to talk Big Ten tournament, let's bring in our Big Ten guy, Paul Caponigri, joining us again. Cappy, how's it going, man?
I mean, people must think I get paid a lot of money since you guys bring me on so often. No, I'm doing good. Yeah, it's March. I mean, playoff time. Let's do it. You know, it's
one reason
the weather is getting warmer.
It's like all one of the reasons we're having you on is that you're calling the games this weekend with Dan Kelly on FS2. Is that correct?
That is the correct rumor. I think I started the rumor, so
it's possible.
I better be right on that. Yeah,
pretty excited at the gig. So yeah, we're excited to have you.
Yeah, I mean, every time Minnesota. Well, this is kind of new, right? Because the last time Minnesota wasn't getting a bye was back when Bally's was still kind of, or FS North was still around, and that's who would pick up the games. Big Ten, I think the one time, well, you guys remember when me and Bossers were there and, you know, the raucous crowd of 600, maybe 800. But yeah, so it's, you know, I think this is like maybe the second time where it's, you know, okay, we got Minnesota. We're obviously going to, you know, air the Gophers game. So no, I'm excited to get to Mariucci. It's been a minute.
Well, we're always excited to have you. And I definitely remember that weekend you and Vosters came. That was
clean sweep of Michigan.
Yeah. People forget that.
Yeah.
Well, they will always remember your photo, Jim.
It was almost it was the beginning of Bob's, you know,
it was
turning it around and, you know, bringing everything back.
And, you know, this weekend, they've got a lot of tickets to sell. I've been getting quite a few emails, Viggs. It's still tough when it's spring break as well.
And with the state hockey tournament going on at Excel in Aldrich, that also draws some attention. But I think it'll be better than it was when there was that 500, 600 size crowd. You know, the students were already on spring break for last weekend, and they still came to the Michigan game. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of rivalry now between Penn State and Minnesota. So I think it'll be a decent crowd, but not a great one.
Yeah. Let's hope so. Well, let's talk about this past weekend, Viggs. A split, straight up split with Michigan. Great Friday night. Saturday night, they basically slept, and Michigan just took advantage of everything until the third period.
Yeah, felt like for me on Friday, the power play maybe bailed out Minnesota for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how great their power play looked, but it was very productive. So that's kind of been a thing with Minnesota this year. It's like just because of the caliber of player they're putting out there, they can be like a 25, 26% power play. I think if they were really clicking, they could be more of a 30% plus power play. But we really haven't seen that this year. So the keys for Minnesota's power play are gaining the zone, getting shots, and creating chaos and letting their talent take over. And that's what we saw on Friday against Michigan. And then on Saturday, when Minnesota gets disconnected, problems happen. And they're just not good enough to play that style. Mm-hmm. They need to find their identity and stick to it. And when they don't, you know, against a good team, talented team like Michigan, Saturday happens.
And that's kind of the thing then been this year, Vigs. You know, we've been looking for consistency, and they have been consistent, consistently up and down almost the entire season.
Yeah, and that's the problem, I think, with this team, especially with as many young players. That's what you're going to get, is inconsistency will be their consistent performance. And the one line that really shined out this last weekend was the veteran line of Nelson, Brodzinski, Nevers. They seem to never go too far low. And when they go high, like Nelson did this last weekend, you know, number one star of the week, great weekend for him. They need that line to be productive, I think, to make a run.
Speaking of inconsistency, I'm sitting there getting ready for the game Friday night, and Cappy, you're on TV in between periods. You're like, did you see that call on Ohio State?
Everyone has now, right?
I finally got to see it. I don't know what's going on in this league, Cappy. You know, we've been talking about it for a while here. I honestly think the Penn State player, he was starting to get going.
He was going off the ice. He was going to change.
And the other, he just ran into somebody, and he not only got a five, he got kicked out for the game, didn't he, Cappy?
He did, yeah. And for me, it has nothing to do with Ohio State, Penn State. It could have been an orange team against the green team. It is what happened and what was called. I don't understand how can and then you eject him? It's just, what are we looking at?
What are we doing?
We don't know. Like, it's not, clearly it's not being called the same way by every referee. So they're not, everyone's taking their own interpretation of the rule instead of trying to be the same, you know. And then the one that was called later in the game was called a five. Which, I mean, that's a tough call, too, because Halliday was falling, but his arms were up. So, yeah, okay, you want to call five, but didn't eject him. Okay, I think that was right on it, you know? But are you telling me that one was less egregious than the other one? And, hey, look, I was a little mad, maybe a little more because I'm Ohio State, but
yeah.
Every person I've asked or watched the video, there was not one person, and then none of them had anything – you know, related to the game. They just watched the video, and not one person thought it was a 2-minute penalty, let alone a five,
correct,
let alone a game ejection. So, and look, six versus seven.
It wasn't just that. It changed the entire game because Ohio State had just scored. It gets taken away, and that changes the whole.
And you get a five-minute power play, and they scored one. Buckeyes did come back and tie it shorthand. Like I said, this is 6 versus 7. But what if this happens in the semifinal?
2 weeks.
Or next this
week.
Weekend?
Or, yeah, this weekend. I mean,
that's where I'm concerned, is that happening in a big game.
Yes. And
what are we doing? Again.
I did show that replay the next night to a former on-ice official who now does some off-ice stuff, and he was just – scratching his head. He couldn't really figure it out, and he's like, because he wanted to see it. I'm like, he's like, and obviously, you know, it's his guys, you know, but he was a little speechless.
Generally, if it's a referee, kind of will just leave it. If he doesn't have anything to say, it's
not
want to say anything what he really thinks,
and it's not, protecting himself, yes.
Yeah, hey, look, I don't know what. Because obviously it wasn't called, and on the replay, the ref is literally looking right up the ice.
He was,
and it wasn't going to be called. You know, I don't blame Guy Gadowski. Why? Hey, we just got scored on. We're on the road. You know, everyone's burning their timeouts now, pretty willy nilly. Like, you know,
yeah.
The one called on, I think I would have called maybe a penalty on Nelson in front of, I don't know, that was, you know, on Casey that hit, maybe, but a 2-minute, but. It wasn't a head contact one. It wasn't going to be reviewed, but he tried, and clearly it's a no, and your timeout's gone. It's the first period of the game. Hey, the coaches are going for it. I, you know, maybe he saw the one from earlier. It's like, hey, this is worse.
What do you think, Biggs? I mean, it's frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating because I think the refs put in the review for these major penalties so that you don't kick somebody out of the game and change the game unless it's warranted.
Sure.
And I feel like the verbiage about that is reckless, dangerous, intentional.
Intentional for me is the biggest.
Yes.
If it's one of those three things and it's a high hit, it's a hit along the boards or a hit from behind, and you put those together, you're out of the game. But if the player changes their body position just before the hit, if it's unintentional contact, if it's not clear, if it's, you know, contact to the head, you can't kick a guy out for that.
No.
And just seeing this get called wrong so often is baffling because there isn't the accountability for these guys. You know, maybe we'll see some of them not work the playoffs, but I don't really have a lot of confidence that that's going to happen either. You know, you've got a bunch of series this weekend. You got to have somebody work it.
Right. I mean, how many refs are there? I mean, you're needing six this weekend, you know.
There's 18, 17 or 18.
Of orange stripes.
Correct.
Well, okay.
I just created a page on it this week because I was curious
who the six guys are this weekend. And if, let's just say if a certain one from making that call, let's see, because I had heard certain things like, I don't know, quote unquote, I don't know what he was looking at there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say who said that, but it's someone that has to do with that world.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, we don't want to be sitting here talking about refereeing either.
That's no, like we don't.
The last thing, but it's that changes games. And if it happens this weekend or if it happens in the semifinal or the final, or, you know, NCAAs is a little different because it's not Big Ten referees completely, but the rule changed with the five to go into the misconduct to having both was the first game of the regional. 20 seconds into the game, their Hobie Baker finalist hits a guy from behind and is gone from the game for Michigan Tech against Duluth out in Loveland. And, you know, it wasn't probably the only reason, but it was huge. You know, Hobie Baker, top 10 finalist, Brian Halloran, hits a guy from behind. It wasn't wasn't intentional, but it was, by the rule of law, a penalty. But it wouldn't have been an ejection in the new rules. And it's a good new rule. I just don't think it's been used properly.
I know, like in the NHL, there's that site called Scouting the Refs, and they kind of track who the good officials are, who works what games, who advances the playoffs, who's in the Stanley Cup Finals, their kind of history. I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to create a page on GPL where we start tracking the refs, we track video reviews, and we see who's working the games, and we figure out who makes the right calls and who doesn't. Because it is starting to become part of this game where we just kind of shake our heads.
And I'm assuming these guys get graded. Right? It's a little.
You would think so.
I'm sure it's not like crazy, you know, NFL type grade, but I'm assuming they get graded because the top, you know, cream rises to the top in anything, and the bigger, better referees for the year will do the bigger games. Like, you're only going to need four next weekend. You're only going to need two the weekend after that.
Yeah.
So, and then you're only going to send two or four probably to regionals and all that. Mm-hmm. So, I'm assuming that speaks.
I was looking because I was creating a page. I was trying to think, you know, there's, you know, Gopher Game Notes had a list. He has a list of the record against all these referees, and it was literally 17 or 18 referees. I was looking up myself. It was Colin Kronforst, who's done the last two Big Ten championship games. He did the weekend series here last weekend.
Yep.
I got a little chance to talk with him after the game. Just more along the weird things that happened, because that's more fun. And he actually gave it
right.
I see you got a shot of me when I was talking with the coach. I'm like, you noticed that? He goes, yeah, I noticed those things. Because you got to realize these guys, they're hockey guys. They love the sport as probably more than most of the fans do, because they're willing to put in the time. And I was going back and looking at my photos, and even like Colin, he's been reffing since the beginning of the Big Ten. A couple of others have as well. They've been doing it a while.
He's probably in the CCHA before that, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Colin's great. I think the less you notice a referee, the better they are generally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brian Aaron does a pretty good job. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know a ton of them by name.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them by look, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the best is to, when we're not talking about them, we're talking about the games and we're talking about the series coming up and the regionals and the NCAA champion. Like, that's what
I'm,
you know, completely. Like, it's just, you just don't want to worry about those calls. I don't know. Because, you know, it could, you know, why wouldn't guy do that again this weekend? It worked.
It did.
And when you get a goal against, you're on the road, back against the wall, playoffs now for sure. As a coach, I would review, I would ask for it. What, you know, yeah, you lose your timeout. You only get one. It's not the basketball, you know, like timeouts are, you only get the one. There's 80 times where you ice the puck and you love to call your, or, you know, whatever. There's like several situations where you love to have a timeout. We don't have them. You only have one. So, I don't know.
Well, Viggs, we did kind of end up with a penalty situation at the end of the Saturday game with Michigan State. Controversial at the blue line. I couldn't really see anything there. But it kind of comes back to, if Pitlick doesn't make that dumb decision near the boards at the end of the game, Minnesota's not even in that position to have to defend the entire, you know, for ended up being the entire overtime.
Yeah, it's not a great play. Letting the emotions get ahead of you or away from
you. And Michigan almost won it with like right at the horn too, because they just missed an open net when the puck came across. They would have won it in regulation, which would have been much better for their pairwise. So I kind of put Pitlick back in the doghouse for that.
The tournament or not.
You know, I think all the Gophers kind of have their ups and downs. I think the Pitlick more snugger line is probably the moodiest line of the Gophers. Like, they let their emotions get a hold of them sometimes and distracts from their, you know, play and what makes them really good. So I think that's something for them to develop a little more maturity in how to handle that kind of swing of emotion. And they'll have opportunities here down the stretch, and we'll see if they can take care of it.
Oh, here, Ryan K. already question. What does Cappy think about these goaltender interference calls this year?
I don't. That one's so much harder because it's.
It is. That's true. I agree with you.
A lot of gray areas in that. Man, I thought the one on Nelson or no, I liked the call because there was no penalty. It was like it was an interference, but unintentional, but he did impede the goalie in the crease. So they did not, I don't even know if the puck ever went in. Did it ever go in?
It did go in. Oh yeah.
But it wasn't in until after the interaction between the player.
Correct. That is correct.
Look, like I said, the contact was his rear end to the guy's head and neck, which was dangerous for the goalie. He didn't play. He played the rest of that period, but then didn't come back. Didn't dress the next game. Who knows if he's going to play this weekend? I mean, neck injuries and all that, but it's another one. That one's tougher, right? Well, they're both tough. It's just the obvious ones. I mean, man, I hate that we want to get the calls right, and you have all the stuff now to do it. You have, you know, so many camera angles and the slow motions, but it does, you know, make it, you know, inches. Oh, was that in it? Was his foot in the crease? What did he touch him? You know, like, it makes it to be easily scrutinized in so many different ways.
Well, Viggs, Nelson has basically been involved with almost every single one of these goals called back. For me, yeah, it kind of stinks, but it's showing he's, you know, after five seasons, he's getting in there. He's mixing it up. Something we've probably wanted to see for a long time for somebody who's 6'4".
Yeah, the players all joke that Steve Miller tells everybody to stop at the net and go to the net. And they all joke. It's like, well, Jackson certainly hears that message from Steve. So obviously he's getting to the right spots. And, you know, the line would probably have another 10 plus points if he wasn't doing that and getting called. So he's just got to find the line. You know, we often talk about Jackson Nelson, you know, kind of sometimes disappearing from play as he tries not to take too many penalties. But he's also a very important player for this team with his defensive positioning. And he's not a reckless player. You know, he's a smart hockey player who knows how to support his line mates, knows how to be even keeled throughout the night. and he's just kind of finding where the line is, I think. And they need that out of him in that line.
It's definitely, definitely interesting. Well, one thing we need to do here, Viggs, is we need to talk about some of our sponsors. And one of them is Will Anderson Insurance, Viggs.
Yeah, close your eyes. Think of your insurance agent. Someone you used to know decades ago, friend of a friend. Now ask yourself, what has your insurance person done for you lately? Are they saving you money? Will they answer your call? Reach out to our sponsor, Will Anderson Insurance. He'll insure you the same as his own family, and he'll explain it to you so it makes sense. And while we can't promise he'll save you money, let's just say you should sure get a quote. Call 612-361-7283 or visit www.willandersonagency.com. And he's a hockey guy. I'm sure he'll take your questions on goaltender interference.
Former Gopher. Head.
Yep, former Gopher. And remember, he's a hockey guy. No balls to drop because he's got pucks.
And then we've got Yoakum Realty.
Yeah. If you're in the market to buy or sell a house, tis the season. Super Bowl Sunday is the official trigger point to list your home or start looking. We talked about this last week. No one's watching football on the weekends anymore. And while they might watch hockey, they want to look at houses. If you're thinking of going into the market, don't roll the dice on your biggest asset. Think twice and contact the twins, Sarah and Jody at Yoakum Real Estate. If they stand side by side, their wingspan is bigger than that other guy who buys too many billboards. You know who I'm talking about. Visit YoakumRealEstateGroup.com for more info.
And of course, we thank Yoakum and Will Anderson Insurance for sponsoring the GPL podcast. You know, you talk about football's over, Viggs. People aren't watching that anymore. People are watching us tonight. Actually, 320 people watching us live right now. It must be you, Cappy. It's got to be you, Cappy.
I mean, because they knew we were going to talk about refereeing and all that. I mean, hey, like that kind of stuff. Sometimes people want to hear. I get it. And others, you see bad, whatever you want to call it, bad calls. You want to kind of hear opinions because you want to give your own. Like I want to yell through the TV sometimes, you know. And I get it. Like it's a polarizing conversation, you know. When you posted it on Twitter or X, whatever, you know, it got a lot of traction, I thought, because generally everyone saw the same thing. And I, like I said, I think they're all worried for their own teams on that.
Yes.
They didn't look at it as Ohio State, Penn State. They looked at it as college hockey. What if that's Gophers, Penn State this weekend? What if it's Gophers, Wisconsin in the semifinal if we get to that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what people are worried about. And it's sad we're talking about it, but if people want to hear our opinions, I'll be happy to do it.
But we do have, you know, a lot of other stuff going on this weekend, yeah. Viggs, in the Big Ten tournament. We've got Wisconsin playing Cappy's Ohio State Buckeyes. We've got Notre Dame visiting Yost and playing Michigan.
It's a big series.
Michigan, Notre Dame, I think is pretty interesting, Viggs. I think that could go to three easily.
Easily go to three, but I was impressed with Michigan from this last weekend.
Okay.
You know, they're a team that has a lot of talent. They don't always have the structure and discipline to go along with it. But when they start going, like McGroarty really impressed me. Brindley really impressed me. And you, when you got guys like that playing at a high level, it makes you dangerous against anybody. And especially Notre Dame, who I think this season hasn't had the structure that they traditionally do. You know, their goalie obviously was listening to the GPL podcast and played really well against the Gophers. they're going to need that if they're going to get by Michigan this next weekend, because he's going to be challenged time and time again. And it's not just going to be shots on net. It's going to be shots with movement, quick releases, one-timers, screens, the whole bit.
But Cappy, I think Michigan, they always seem to struggle with Notre Dame no matter what.
I mean, in the past, like those wins last year or last weekend were their first since in a while at home. Again, Notre Dame has had a great record at Yost Ice Arena. Mm-hmm. If you remember just the year before last year, they beat Notre Dame, beat them in overtime and got like home ice against Michigan State, but then lost to Michigan State. But it's up until this year, they've struggled. Michigan has struggled with Notre Dame as the one team, but man, if they get a tons of power, if they create power plays, I mean, that power play is insane. You guys talked about McGroarty and Brindley, but I think the key cog is Seamus Casey back there. He's just a wizard with the puck, and on his edges is skating. But the X factor is Ryan Bischel. I mean, goaltending can win series. It's that simple. And his number, I don't. Notre Dame is, they've not scoring goals, right? That's just not been their thing the last couple of years. Like, you imagine him as Michigan's goalie. I mean, whoa, like you're all these like fantasy hockey type of things, but you know, and I'm not knocking any of Michigan's goalies, but Ryan Bischel's save percentage is up near 930 the last 2 years, you know, and he's got a chance. They got a chance with him in net. You know, they lost that, quite frankly, that 2 weeks ago, there were a couple goals where kind of you'd be like, that's off. Doesn't go in on Ryan Bischel. So that's the thing they're going, you know, because Notre Dame scored one goal 2 weeks ago. They're not going to win any games. They score one goal in two games.
No. So,
well, and I think that's because Notre Dame doesn't have their structure that they have historically had. Yeah. And they're exposing their goalie, and he's making the saves this year. And it could be a lot worse for them if they didn't have him back in net this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hardest thing for them with that is they've had a lot of transfers come in. And freshmen, you know, so the combination of that is you've got, you know, some grad students or fourth, fifth year guys that have played a certain way for 3 or 4 years, and they come into Notre Dame and they're talented, but they're freshmen in terms of playing the Notre Dame Jeff Jackson way. And it's hard for guys that have played that way for 4 years to jump in and just pick it up right away. Notre Dame's at best when their older players have been there for that long and they're like a machine. They know exactly where they need to be, and the other guys come in and follow you. Most young guys don't play a ton at Notre Dame because they've got to learn the Notre Dame way, and they brought in older players that are good, but they've, you know, they're not playing the, you know, like you said, the structure that they learn, and it's like a slow process generally for them, and you see it usually work because they're, a lot of guys that are freshman and sophomore, you see almost no production from them. And then all of a sudden, junior, senior year, they become guys. And you're like, whoa, where did this come from? But it's happened over and over again there. And I think that's where, you know, the transfer portal almost hurts a little bit with Notre Dame, I think.
Well, and I was also looking at Notre Dame. They've lost so many guys decommitting to go other schools. Yeah. And that's really impacted their pipeline. You know, yeah. Notre Dame historically has recruited some young, highly talented kids at 16 and 17.
They've got some nice ones this year too, I think, though. Danny Nelson and Knubel and Fisher back there, I think.
But they're young. It's going to take time for them to learn that structure.
Usually, building your way up there. You know, they have some veteran play. Landon Slaggart's had a great senior year after struggling. So, you know, they can catch lightning in a bottle. You never know. For sure, but Michigan is tough at home, so that'll be interesting.
And we got your Ohio State Buckeyes heading into the Kohl Center this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of thought Ohio State was a little resurgent a couple weeks ago, and then it just didn't happen, Cappy.
Well, I'm not going to blame it on injuries, but they're already a not a big goal-scoring team, and Dunlap and Thiessen were both out for them. That doesn't help. You know, yeah, they gained some confidence. They took 3 out of 4 from Wisconsin and Michigan State. You're kind of like, whoa.
Exactly.
And they did it pretty well. They won 6-2 in East Lansing. So it's not like they won 3-2 and got outshot 55-12 or something. So yeah, last weekend was probably, you know, kind of deflated them a little. But they should have a little confidence after sweeping Wisconsin. But yeah, they're going to the Kohl Center. That's going to be buzzing. First, you know, home playoff series in a while, and you know, the Buckeyes are shorthanded. See what happens. I obviously think it's going to be tough for them, and Wisconsin's probably going to get through pretty, you know, we'll see.
What is it that Ohio State did so well in that series against Wisconsin? What allowed them to pull off two W's?
I think it was more Wisconsin not doing things. Like, I couldn't believe, you know, it was a 3-1 game, and man, Wisconsin was given. Ohio State could have won that game 7-1. They were just getting a ton of chances, and that's probably why, you know, they struggle. They just don't have those elite finishing guys right this year when when they do get games like that. But Wisconsin was taking bad penalties, undisciplined penalties. They kept showing Mike Hastings on the bench, and I'm like, this guy's matured in 20 years, because if this was happening when I was playing for him, he wouldn't look so calm on the bench. I think he's just, in my personal opinion, I don't know this for a fact, but he's just waiting until it's behind closed doors to, you know, and still he still probably doesn't do it in the same way as he used to. But I think, you know, he's probably really good now at keeping it out of the public eye, his unhappiness towards his play.
Well, he did give it. Gillespie was telling us that, you know, Hastings keeps it everything very close to the vest. He can't see practices or anything like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he's learned over the years. He was giving it to the media afterwards, you know, letting it be known that he was not happy with the way his team played. So,
sure.
Always interesting when the coach pulls that card out.
Yeah. And also, I think, and he hasn't obviously had to use it many times, but how many times do you have that card to pull before it, you know, falls on mm-hmm. deaf ears? And so I think he's probably learned that over the years. Like, there's always so much yelling guys are going to take where they're going to actually listen. I guess I listened to it all the time back then.
Only so many times you can kick the garbage can, Viggs.
Yeah, Jacques Lemaire always used to say, you know, I yell. Someday they're going to yell back.
Especially NHL players?
Yeah.
At some point, million-dollar guys, probably going to yell back at some point.
So you guys thinking sweep on both sides there, Viggs, for both Wisconsin and Notre Dame? And Michigan, I should say?
I could really see the Michigan-Notre Dame game going to 3, okay, just because of Bischel. You know, I was not a believer, as people heard on the podcast before the Gopher series against Notre Dame, but that series kind of changed my mind and said, yeah, he's really legit this year and playing great. So he's probably going to get a vote or two for the Big Ten goal of the year, I think.
I guess there's a couple things with the Notre Dame. Like, I think Wisconsin is probably going to sweep. I'll say one of them in overtime, though.
How about that?
That's kind of like my, you know, hoping, show a little face for the Buckeyes. But two things: Notre Dame's got a bye week or coming off a bye week. You just don't know how, you know, they come out fresh. I thought Minnesota played a little slow at the start, but then were really good Friday. And then goaltending for Michigan. You know, if it's Weston Net and he's not played much, you don't really know what they have there, to be honest. So
two grad students and a senior is what they've got.
That's where I'll hold out to wait. I mean, if Barczewski's playing, I'll lean towards a sweep. But if it's West, you know, Notre Dame might be able to get a couple past him, and they don't need 4 to win. I think they need 3, maybe, you know, and also penalties. I mean, they got to stay out of the box. And usually they're a pretty good disciplined team.
All right. Sounds fun to me.
That's as good as I have.
Well, now we need to hear from our guy Jake Middleton for Duke Cannon.
Jake Middleton here, Director of Hair and Hygiene for the Minnesota Wild. How did I get this important role with the team, you ask? I'd like to think it was because of hard work, but the truth is, I run hot. Yep, I'm a sweater. In my role as Director of Hair and Hygiene, I'm sort of like a player coach. Let me pull out the grease board here. Well, it's not actually a grease board, because there is nothing dirty about Duke Cannon. How do I help the guys stay squeaky clean? Helpful reminders. It's simple. Tarps off, Duke Cannon on. Say it with me. Tarps off, Duke Cannon on. Tarps off, Duke Cannon on. Pick the scent that suits you. Sawtooth. Thick body wash. Extra thick. And my favorite, Midnight Swim. Tarps off, Duke Cannon on. Duke Cannon. Work harder, smell better.
Of course, we thank Duke Cannon for sponsoring the GPL podcast. And we love those products, don't we, Viggs?
Definitely love sure those do. Products.
And now we've got Cub Foods. I love myself some Cub Foods, Viggs.
Yeah, Cubs all aboard the Pull Tab Sports Wagon. Maybe you should be on Cubs bandwagon too. They sponsor the Wild on 7th Pod, sponsor Twins Homer Hankies, or on PJ Flex headset. They're one of us, and they support GPL podcasts. visit your local Cub. They're all over the Twin Cities. If you need them, they're close. They got food, they got beverage, they got pickup, they got delivery. They got Cub.com. Check them out.
Of course, we thank Cub for being a sponsor as well. Love me those donut holes. I have a soft spot for the donut holes.
And they always have what you need. You go to these other stores, sometimes they run out of stuff. Cub, great inventory. Love it there.
All right, let's bring Cappy back in. Like you said, he's going to be calling the game this weekend with Dan Kelly on FS2. And for streaming, that's the Fox Sports app, folks. 6 o'clock Friday night, 3:30 Saturday afternoon, and if necessary, I believe it's 6 p.m. Sunday. Cappy.
Yeah, I feel like this is our kind of go-to time slots because it's the same ones we had last year in South Bend. So, hey, I'm just happy that there's an FS2, you know, to get some of the, because you got, you know, Big Ten is
women's basketball.
Women's basketball. Right. You know what else? The Big Ten Wrestling Championships is Saturday.
That's huge.
Because, you know, I asked this because I'm like, you know, the Big Ten women on Saturday, they're done by like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then Sunday they're not on the air. So I'm like, well, why can't, you know, Big Ten Wrestling, it's the championship. It's not the quarterfinals and, you know, different. Obviously they have 1 day or 2 days and that's it. Whereas our tournament, you know, is spread over 3 weekends. So I'm just, it's you know, you're thankful that you find a spot on FS2 to get these games on. Nationally too. You know, you're not in, you know, either if you have the sports package, you have FS2.
Mm-hmm.
So
Viggs, how long do you think it will be 3 weekends for the Big Ten tournament?
Ugh. We'll see. Bob tries to tell us every year there's enough people that want to change it to a 2 weekend tournament. I think this is like 3 or 4 years in a row he said that, and it hasn't happened yet.
Biggs, what's his what would be his, if it is 2 weekends, how would it be played? Does he ever told you?
He hasn't really said exactly what the format would be,
okay,
which I think makes it challenging because he's talked about maybe having a neutral site host it and have it rotate around.
I think now, you know, 10 years ago, no. Now, I think it could be. Would it be 25? Would the XL be full? No, but would there be 10,000 people there? Probably.
Maybe.
Ticket pricing? Well, I mean, the ticket pricing is the same as it would be as it is this weekend, right?
Well, it's tough because the XL is a venue. If they don't cut you a break, you know, it's like $50,000 a day. So right. If you're going to have a tournament where you have a practice day, game day, you know, and then next day, it's at least $150,000, just that upfront cost.
Right.
And do they want to do that?
Well, it would be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, though, right? It's semifinal, final. Yeah.
So.
That's what I'm asking about ticket pricing. It's not on the Big Ten to set those prices, or are they basing it
But they had to negotiate with the venue.
Add a little more because of their paying the venue.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the venue wants to get a cut of the revenue too for an event like that too. So it gets pretty complicated. And that's why XL hasn't been a part of the NCAA regionals the last, I don't know, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough.
I mean, is that
they pulled out a bidding for the regionals.
Oh, it's too big of a place. I mean, I don't think they've ever had an NHL arena host a regional.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've been at XL a couple times.
Have they really?
They were at Denver, too.
The regional?
Regional.
I know the Frozen Four was in the Pepsi Center.
It was the year before the Pepsi Center hosted their Frozen Four. They host the regional because I remember that was the big 2007 Final Five, Minnesota, North Dakota go to overtime. Minnesota wins in overtime here. Yeah. They meet in the regional final a week later in overtime in front of a mostly empty Pepsi Center.
At North Dakota? North Dakota didn't travel there? Okay, well, then if they're not traveling, I don't know what. That's where we're screwed.
And yeah, well, even the NCHC wants to go away from the neutral site league, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. You know, NCHC tried to condense it as much as they could with the new teams coming in so they could still fit it in 2 weekends. So maybe that's something that Big Ten could get on board with too. I don't know.
The one that I, and this would cost, obviously, is, you know, you have on, you know, home ices, and then you have, but you play then, or you have the semi, well, obviously you want eight teams. That's the first thing I want. But, but you play the best of three weekend, and then the next weekend you play the semifinals Friday on campuses, and then the final on Sunday. You know, it would cost more for travel for those two schools, or, you know, you're paying for one more travel, I guess, because whoever wins the lower seed has got to travel to. So this year would be, say, Minnesota beats Wisconsin at the Kohl Center on Friday night. They would fly Saturday to East Lansing and play Sunday. If Michigan State were to win their semifinal, you know, that's, I guess,
that would be a tough sell though for selling tickets though, wouldn't it? Because let's say semifinal next weekend, the 3 and 4 seeds both upset. So now the 3 seed hosts, that would be, let's say, Minnesota if it was this year. All of a sudden, 2 days later, you have to try to fill up a Mariucci.
Well, you're selling tickets. You're selling tickets that weekend for both games, and your money goes back or whatever.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I think people are excited to go if they'd want to go. If somehow Minnesota got Michigan, because you guys, two upsets, say it's the four that would maybe the top four seeds go, right? But you guys beat Wisconsin, and Michigan beats Michigan State, you would host the Big Ten championship for the third straight.
Against Michigan for the third year in a row.
right. And you don't think Mary should be packed for that on Sunday?
It would be, but it's also going to be a week of sales to be able to do that as well. Wow, not 2 days.
They'd be happy. Well, no. I don't know. I think there's a way you could sell the tickets or, you know.
Possibly, yeah.
I think people would be amped after a Friday night beating Wisconsin on the road. Oh, we get to host the championship game? I'm buying my ticket Saturday. I'm going to that game. If I'm a good
poor player. Wisconsin, they've got too much going on at the Kohl Center, though. I mean, it's pushing the semifinal to Sunday no matter what, because basketball has it through Saturday evening. The boys' basketball tournament there in Madison.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone wants to go to the Dane County Coliseum Vigs for hockey. It could be fun, but don't think it's going to happen. So, you know, if both teams do win this weekend,
the Madison junior team.
I'm sorry, what?
The Madison junior team, where they play. How small is that arena?
Is that the Dane County Coliseum? I think it's called something else now.
I don't know where the Capitals play. So
either way, I mean, it's the same that Ohio State would have if Ohio State was going to be hosting a semifinal that weekend is wrestling. And it's been, and it will be, you know, their contract for I don't know how long. And they get tons of fit people there. I think, you know, 1 year they played at Nationwide Arena and it worked out pretty well. And then 1 year they played at home on the Sunday. They played Penn State and they lost. So, you know, it is what it is with those two schools with the multi-sports. That's why I'm begging for Ohio State to. And I mean, their new president is all in with the hockey. I mean, he was on air on Friday.
Get the money. Get her done. Get her done, Cappy.
They have the money. I mean, we all know that.
If you do that, I'm visiting. I'm going to come for the series.
You have a president now there that absolutely his favorite sport is hockey. He's been at every game almost. He's been on TV. He goes in the locker room with them, I'm telling you. So if it's ever going to happen, it's with this, you know, and he's not the athletic director, but he's the president of the university, which is bigger.
That's big.
He played hockey at Navy, you know, or Air Force. I think it was Navy.
Navy.
Sure. But if it's ever going to happen, it's under this guy. So I mean, it would just help in many ways. And then their women's team deserves it too. Cause they're an absolute, and they're going to be in town. That's another thing that's going on, you know, this weekend. I'm not sure.
Final face-off.
Saturday, Sunday. I'm not sure, but
probably Friday, Saturday. Usually
try to sneak over there if I can to watch some of the Buckeye ladies play. Cause I mean, you know, that's they're a wagon. It's just
they are.
What Nadine is doing, I think she could be a men's coach in a heartbeat and turn programs around. She's just got it. I don't know what to say. If you can do it there.
Yes. So Viggs, you know, we've got Penn State coming back into Mariucci this weekend. Playoff series, best 2 out of 3. Penn State did not have a good trip here just a few weeks ago, getting shut out the entire weekend. I'm guessing we're going to see something different from Penn State this weekend.
I mean, we will probably see something different, but if Minnesota plays like they did in that series, I think they've got Penn State's number, because that weekend was one of the best performances I've seen by the Gophers, being above pucks, being connected, and being disciplined. And I think if this team's going to make a run, that's the blueprint for them to execute. And I thought coming out of that weekend, it's like, this team gets it. They're ready to go. And now we've seen a couple hiccups the last couple of weeks where they've gotten away from that, cheated, get stretched out, and they just can't play that way. So I feel like this is a good warm-up for the Gophers to get into playoff hockey and get going. And I think it's really important for them to stick to that recipe this weekend.
What do you think, Cappy? It's going to be fun to have you in town, by the way.
Yeah, it'll be nice. I love it. Playoffs is the best. I mean, because there's nothing like when you're playing for a game where your season ends the next day, possibly. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have that at some point here. If it's, you know, Penn State on the down a game in the series, or, you know, game 3 on Sunday. So I just love you kind of just get the all out attack, nothing to lose type mentality. Going back to that series, it was one of those ones where I'm watching and I'm like, at no point did I feel like Minnesota didn't have control.
Mm-hmm.
The only time it got interesting was that 5-on-3 for almost 2 minutes, and Justin Close, that was when he made like 14 saves. You know, like the shots on goal thing looked, but Penn State does what they do. They shoot the puck, and then that one that created a ton of chances. You know, Ryan Kerwin, I think, had like 10 shots. You know, he's the one guy maybe that could be with his shot, can be a difference maker for them. But, man, they just looked totally in control that weekend. It's hard not to – I think Penn State will have a little more bite. They finally won a couple road games last weekend. Obviously, a whole different horse here coming down with the Gophers. But, you know, if they can't get off to a good start, it's going to be really hard for them to get one here. I just think the way that Minnesota's schedule laid out for them is perfect, how they had a weekend off right before playoffs, you know, one series. And then if they were able to somehow win these two, you're done playing back-to-back games, but you got enough games where you're like, you're not tired, but you're fresh, but you're not also rusty. That's just the way I look at I analyze that kind of crap in my head. And I'm like, it's laid out really nicely for them if they somehow can just get through Penn State in two games. And I think they'll be motivated by that.
And Viggs, you know, Cappy kind of talked about it, that 5 minute part of that game against Penn State was almost the key to the whole weekend. It was the end for Penn State. They couldn't get anything past, and Minnesota just kind of fed off it and just shut them down the rest of the weekend.
Well, I think one of the things that Justin Close does really well is preparing for the other team's power play. You know, I asked him once about how he prepares for weekends. He's like, one of the number one things I do is we go over the other team's power play, what they like to do, how they score their goals, and really break that down so that when he sees that on the ice, he can read everything. And I think that's when his hockey IQ really starts to stand out, is making plays like that, because he's making those big saves, but he's not really making them look difficult. Mm-hmm. It's just because, like, he knows what's coming, and that allows him to play fast and effective and calm. And, you know, I hope for his sake, he doesn't have to go through that again, but if he does, it'll be entertaining for us.
It was definitely entertaining. The crowd actually loved that 5 minute kill. It was really strange because they had to kill 2 5-on-3s during that kill. It was just, it was pretty chaotic.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that it's rarely has to make that like jaw dropping save, because he's so silent and subtle with his movements, but he's generally always there. And the one thing I'll say about Penn State, and you know, their goaltending has been there, you know, bugaboo this year and overall, but Liam Soulier has had some really good playoff games. in both years. You know, they upset Ohio State 2 years ago on the road. He had a couple good games there. Last year, he had a 55 save game against Ohio State, and their win, one win in that series, you know, shut out Michigan Tech in the regional, and then gave up. He had 39 saves in the overtime loss to Michigan, you know, giving up 2-1 in overtime. So he's got, I think, some confidence of playing well in a playoff scenario. And this is most likely his last kick at it. You know, it's his fourth year, but this is the last year with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing. If he can, you know, any series, if a goalie gets hot, right, you know, it can kind of change the momentum and a mentality of a team.
All right, I'm thinking 2-game sweep. I don't really see.
Oh, I'm shocked that that's.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
hey, yeah. we've been picking a lot of splits. You know, I picked split last weekend.
I think I've been picking splits. You, I don't know about you.
I didn't pick a sweep last week. I haven't picked a sweep in a while.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the video.
Let's go to the videotape.
All right, Biggs, what do you got? I'm guessing you're picking sweep.
I'm picking a sweep. I thought Minnesota played really well against Penn State the last time out. This team is saying all the right things, and they got to prove it on the ice, but I think they've got it figured out. I know Bob today said that this blue line core is finally on par with last year's. You know, he was expecting them to be on par with last year's defensive core. It just took them a long way to get there. I still don't know if it's quite as good as it was last year.
It's not.
But it's pretty darn solid right now. And I think they're doing it in a little bit different way than last year's group did it. But they are pretty solid on their puck retrievals. I think the biggest thing is they need their forwards to stay with them, especially their centers. They've got to stay with them, stay below the dots, be connected with their D. I think it's easier to do that against Penn State than some other teams. So chance to get some momentum there.
Cappy?
I mean, don't I have to kind of go like Kirk Herbstreit on this? Because I'm calling the series, or no?
It's gonna be a split with an overtime win on Sunday.
18 overtimes in game 3. You know, I like to see this from Penn State. I like to see this from Minnesota. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I think there's, you know, one team's better than the other on paper and proof of the season. You know, playoffs, you never know what can happen, but
that is true.
You know, it's setting up for Minnesota, but you know, Aiden Fink, I think he'll play this weekend. He didn't play last weekend, but I honestly think maybe, you know, maybe just being extra precaution because last weekend's games didn't mean anything. Got to have him. And, you know, I don't say he struggled of late, but he hasn't put up the points. Maybe he hasn't, you know, I watched him. He's played well, but he hasn't produced the points. You know, you make plays and hey, you can't help if a guy doesn't finish your pass all the time or he doesn't put it back in the net. So the only other thing with, you know, goaltending and Suliera I just mentioned, if he gets hot, he's, you know, if he has a 55 save game, if you're the Gophers, like, what are we supposed to do? Yes, you're supposed to score. But if a goalie plays well like that, you kind of got to shrug your shoulders. Sometimes you put 55 and score one. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good series. I hope it goes 3 games because then I'm calling 3 games, you know, and I love doing it. I mean,
heard that from the radio guys as well. They're always up for the three game series because they get paid by the game.
Well, that and then, I mean, it's game 3. Like I did it last year with Notre Dame and Michigan State. It was awesome. Game 3, seasons were on the line for those two teams. A little different between Minnesota, Penn State. Minnesota will advance, but also you're looking at if Minnesota loses –
they're off for a long time.
2 weekends completely off. You know, Penn State did that last year, and it didn't look rusty against Michigan Tech. But, yeah, you don't want that. Mm-mm. So they're going to be highly motivated. And, yeah, I think they'll come out strong. And the crowd thing will be interesting because there is a lot going on in Minneapolis. You have the Big Ten basketball tournament down the way. Mm-hmm. You have the women's hockey right next door. You have the state tournament. And I just found out Michelle McMahon's here for pickleball. I just saw her. She's traveling. And I was thought, like, I'm like, you're going to Minnesota. She's like, Minneapolis. I'm like, yeah, so pickleball's in town, I guess. So you just got a ton of stuff going on. So
does that mean Schlossman's in town? I mean, he's a big pickleball guy.
In spring break then, too, right? You know.
Correct.
So there's just, I'd love to see some good crowds. Dan Kelly, he predicted 8,000 a night. That's what he thinks. And I love
really?
That, obviously. That's what he thinks. So I don't think I'm being, telling anything, or that was his prediction.
I don't know. Maybe we have to get him on for overtime. Let's send him a text. Let's get him on for overtime.
Dan's not awake. Maybe he is. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, the tickets are priced right for this weekend. I think they're $10 a game, so that's a good value for a college hockey game.
And that's a Big Ten price ticket, right? I remember.
There's a little bit of a negotiation there, but yeah.
Okay.
Big Ten's got to be on board with it.
I remember that happening the last couple of years because people were, Gopher tickets are pretty expensive in the regular season if you want a premium seat. I think that's I feel like that should be very emphasized by, the university to get the people out there. Cause how many times can you take your kids to a family of five and go for $50?
And the Penn State series a couple of weeks ago was one of those special Black Friday deals earlier in the fall. And they had more, they sold more seats than any other series in the history of Mariucci Arena for that series.
Great. Yeah.
Didn't have them all show up, but they put a lot of marketing behind it all the way back in the fall leagues.
Yep, which is good. Hopefully the people show up this weekend. Should be fun. Yeah. I will definitely be there Saturday, so looking forward to that.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on with us, Cappy.
And Saturday. Although Dan probably could bring it home on his own. I'm not even gonna lie on that.
Nighty night, Nittany Lions.
You hope.
True. Well, either way, Minnesota's season won't end this weekend, no matter what. So they're pretty good. Even if they were to lose Vigs, they're not going to drop far enough.
My last look at the pairwise says they're 100% in, says they're locked into the top 10 right now. So
I mean, I think they'd have to run the table, like sweep, then they would want to see Wisconsin and want to see Michigan State because they're the higher ones. Mm-hmm. I think there's an outside chance of a one seed still. But
if they run it.
You need help, and then obviously you're helping yourself because you're climbing over two of the teams that are right in front of you. They'd need Denver's probably the other team they need to slide out. But
all right,
that's really their biggest. I don't know. Maybe it is getting that fourth seed that would go to St. Louis would be, or I don't know, man. The East Coast thing with UMass, that chaos that could happen.
He likes playing. He wants to play at least. He'd rather be playing two games, like the weekend before the NCAA tournament. So,
sure.
If they were to get knocked out, like I said, like either this weekend or against Wisconsin. I mean, think about it. Wisconsin or Minnesota is going to be out. Two top 10 teams. So.
Well, yeah. Also, think if Michigan State loses, bye week, then play one game. That hasn't happened to Minnesota, but. You have the bye week, play one game, then you're off for a week.
It did happen to Minnesota, though, didn't it? It was that the year, Viggs, that they got knocked out of the tournament by .001? They didn't play for the longest time, and it ended up getting knocked out.
Yeah.
We know that whole story. But I don't know if it was because of that, the buys, but either way.
I think they got knocked out early. It was all a cluster, so.
It always
all is. Right. Well, thanks for being on, Cappy.
You
ready for some overtime?
Yes. I have a time limit, though. I do have to pack tonight.
He's got a plane to catch, folks.
You could do a Vosser special. You could show us what you're packing.
Yeah, that's not my style.
You need to do a whole pregame thing with it. This is I talked to the coaches.
I would need I would literally need someone to do it. I can't do that kind of thing.
How do I use this just, thing?
My brain would explode. I would stress out from that, not everything else that you'd think I would stress out. It's not. I would stress out from something like that. And I like to keep my life nice and relaxed. Let's keep the stress down. So, nope, not happening.
Nobody would care
anyway. Who the hell wants to see me back?
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode of the GPL podcast. Obviously, we thank Cappy for coming on the show this week. For those of you watching live, Stay tuned for some overtime for the rest of you. We'll catch you next week on the GPL podcast.